sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
In the Gospels, Jesus tells us, where two or three are present, there am I in their midst. And many of us have heard that many times. Okay, that's nice. But have you really stopped to think about that? How is Jesus really present to us in our midst when two or three gather? Frankly, how is he present to us in all the different ways that he says, I am with you? Jesus Christ is present to us in numerous ways, but all too often we are unaware of them and or we just don't see him. So what can we do about that? How can we be more aware of the ways that Jesus is present to us in our daily lives? That's what we're going to be talking about today on Ignition. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Dr. Chris Bergwald, and we want to set your faith ablaze so that you might live the adventure that comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. Before we get into today's topic, we want you to know that, as always, we love listener feedback. So if you got questions about today's episode, or if you have ideas for future episodes, please contact us. The easiest way to do so is by email, and the address is
ignition@sfcatholic.org.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, ignition@sfcatholic.org. That voice, because I was testing, I will just say where the way is. Robin, really paying attention or not?
I could tell you are.
Wait, what?
I could tell that you were wondering if I was paying attention.
How could you tell that I was wondering, Robin Bregman?
I don't know. Because I just kind of glanced up and I just kind of wondered if you were going to throw it my way.
Yeah, because I was looking at the camera.
And we've been together long enough.
You were fixing your hair.
The camera, I couldn't even see it. Because it was on you, but anyways.
I'm
paying attention.
Just in case people are brand new, we're new. Quick, both of us.
Super fast.
Quick introductions. So I'll go first to establish how quick I'm talking about.
Okay.
My name is Chris Bergwald. I'm Director of Discipleship Formation with the Diocese. Been in that role with the Diocese for 21 years. Jermaine's husband for almost 25, not like some people who have been married for 25 years.
We're older, yeah.
We have 5 kids from almost 20 down to almost 12.
Okay, I'm Robin Brueggemann, married to Spike for 30 years, have 7 kids. I have 3 in-law kids. I have 2 grandkids, and I'm a Catholic convert. Pizza.
Wow.
But you gave more information.
That's true. They didn't, so, 30 years. I thought it was 30.
No, you know this, Chris. You know this.
Why did, I was thinking, somebody who I know, I just read somebody, their little bio, they just celebrated 25 years last year. And for some reason I was putting that, but I know it's
30. I know.
I inadvertently made it 40 when you guys had your anniversary.
Right,
and your husband's like, 30. What?
It hasn't been that long.
No.
Okay. I mean, I'm excited about today's topic.
Why are you excited about today's topic, Robin?
Because I just am.
No!
Because, I just think this is a great thing to talk about, how just the presence of our Lord everywhere with us all the time. But, you know, we talk about, okay, Jesus lives within you. Jesus lives within you. Jesus is present where two or more are gathered. Jesus is super present in the church and the tabernacle. So I think it's a cool thing to just talk about his presence, because it is a present.
Yeah, I would.
You knew that was coming at some point?
I knew that was coming.
Get it out of the way.
It probably won't be the first time. Do you remember the train of thought, how I arrived at the final topic, that is the different ways or modes that Jesus is present to us? Because I just asked you why, Robin, and that actually ties into the train of thought that led to the conclusion being this particular topic.
Did you tell me yesterday when
I did.
In?
Oh,
gosh.
That was a long time.
It started with silence,
wasn't it? That was before Lent started.
I know.
Yeah, you're probably hungry now and
can't
remember.
Yeah.
we're recording on Ash Wednesday, so
we're
in the midst of fascination.
Fascination.
So the first thought was, what can we talk about? Because I love to ask people either what fascinates them, mm-hmm. and not necessarily in those words, but what are you into? Like, you know, what trips your trigger? Maybe putting it that way.
Yeah.
But then why? So maybe I don't have to ask them. They're like, oh, I'm really excited. Say more about that. So you know that I just did this to you. You said, I was really excited about this topic. And I said, why? Why do I ask that question, Robin? Do you want me to answer it myself or do you have a guess? You want to guess first or do you know?
You answer it.
Okay.
Dang.
Fine. Because the things that fascinate us, they just tell us something about the other person, which is always a good thing.
Yeah.
But I will love you as my neighbor more. Having an insight into what really excites you is helpful. But then also what fascinates us, not certainly this is not always the case. We can be fascinated by things that we shouldn't be fascinated by. But, you know, those things notwithstanding, the Lord can speak to us. He reveals himself to us in all sorts of ways, including by means of things that really fascinate us. He, if you will, tries to get our attention in all sorts of ways. But he doesn't do it like the way that Chris Bergwald would probably do it. He's much more gentle and quiet. Our diocesan retreat center, Broomtree, in the silence God speaks. Yes.
Says that on the altar.
You know, First Kings, what is it, 18 or 19? It's not in the storm. It's not in the fire. It's not in the earthquake. It's in the still, small breeze, which is not. Well, I'll get there hopefully one day, but it's not my style. So the Lord speaks to us in it through, I think, the things that fascinate us. He speaks to us. He reveals himself to us. He's present to us in all sorts of ways. So that was kind of the train that got us to where we're going today. So there is I wanted to get to a paragraph in the catechism. But before we do that, Robin, so when you think about, and I know you prepped, so this is unfair.
I didn't prep a ton. I read what you told me to read.
Well, I know, but you're already probably, if you can, before you looked at the paragraph in the catechism I asked you to look at, what are the ways that come to your mind by which Jesus is present to us, as he tells us, as the church tells us? Can you think,
You mean like just things that come to my mind?
Yeah, and you already alluded to them.
Like, yeah.
How is Jesus present to us?
Well, in the Eucharist.
Yes.
In churches, in the tabernacle. Like,
the tabernacle is the Eucharist.
Yes, right. And I was going to say, yeah, but just in case someone doesn't understand that. He's present in other people, which is sometimes hard to remember. I feel like he's present in his word. He lives inside of me, so he's present in
always.
Me.
Always? Does he always live inside of you?
This is a trick question. I was taught when I was a Protestant girl that he does. And when I receive the Eucharist, he absolutely is living inside me and present.
What if you, okay, I'm talking to Robin. I know.
Is this a trick question?
Why. No, it's not a trick question.
I'm looking at Elise to say, is it or not? Yes or
Elise,
no?
Elise, do you have any idea where I was going with this line of question? I know you're not on mic, are you?
So
you
no.
You have to be loud. Yell. Do you have any idea where I was going?
I think, well.
Yes, you do.
To the, is he in Robin? That question?
Yeah.
No, I honestly was just, I think it's funny when you do that to people.
Oh, all right, never mind. Okay.
It's really funny you do it to me.
Robin, there have been times when Jesus, certainly he's always been present to me, but there have been definitely times in my life when he's not been present within me. Because there have been times in my life where I didn't go to Mass and therefore was living in a state of mortal sin.
Right. So you're saying that he's not present in you?
In me?
Or just with you? He's present with you?
He's always with us.
He's always with us.
But if I'm in a state of mortal sin, he's not dwelling within me. I have no sanctifying grace.
Okay. So that's a good thing to point out then, because that's how I was raised. You know that Jesus is in your heart. Once you have him in your heart, he's always there. You know, so that's an interesting
this is important to go down. If somebody commits a mortal sin, they do something that's gravely evil. It separates us from him. Now, there are some caveats here. One I already named. He's always present to us. Secondly, he's always holding us in existence. So God is always holding me in existence. So even when I was being a lazy bum and wasn't going to Mass, I was in a state of mortal sin, but God was still holding me in existence. But he was not dwelling within me with his supernatural life. So I was not in a state of sanctifying grace. I think when we think about, Jesus dwelling within me, to me, usually that's speaking about he's within me in the fullness of his sanctifying grace, his holy presence.
Right.
Wouldn't that be the case? Like, that's probably the sense.
Yeah.
For you growing up, wouldn't that have been the sense? I mean, you would have used those words, but.
Would that, like what you just said?
God present to and holding existence applies to everybody who has ever existed. her most horrific sinners you could think of in history, Satan and the other demons, God is present to them and holding them in existence in every moment. But I don't think we'd say that Jesus is dwelling in Satan's heart in the way that you intended it, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, when you put it that way.
Okay. Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah. I feel like I'm seeing question marks.
You want, well, I don't know. Not necessarily a question mark. It's just me just kind of thinking back to how I was,
okay,
what I was taught in the denomination that I was raised in.
Okay. Okay. Great.
And how right. That's just a difference.
You can ponder that. Yeah, if you have a question.
We don't need to waste listeners listening or viewing time on me pondering.
Pondering.
What I was raised with and what I'm now. So,
but
it's
think,
all good.
I, to be honest, I think like if I talk to like a theologian or a pastor in your tradition, the tradition that you were raised in, the Christian tradition.
They might say that. So it could just be that I took it really a lot deeper than it was meant that it could be.
All right. So what I want to look at is paragraph 1373 in the Catechism. Mm-hmm. Would you mind reading it, or would you rather that I
did? You know, I might let you, because on the way here, I'm like, I didn't pack my readers.
Right, and I gave you, I did give you the small.
You gave me the teeny print.
I gave you the small Catechism. So this is paragraph, not page number, 1373. Mm-hmm. So if you want to find, this is available online. If you don't have a catechism, just do an internet search for CCC 1373. That's Catechism of the Catholic Church, 1373. So I'm not going to do quotes where there's quotes. There's a few quotations from Scripture in this passage, just to be aware of that, and church teaching for that matter. Christ Jesus, who died, yes, who was raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us, is present in many ways to his church, in his word, in his church's prayer, where two or three are gathered in my name, in the poor, the sick, and the imprisoned, in the sacraments of which he is the author, in the sacrifice of the Mass, and in the person of the minister. But he is present most especially in the Eucharistic species. Eucharistic species. So that's the what looks like bread and wine, but becomes the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ after consecration. He is present most especially in the Eucharistic species. So part of what I was thinking about, Robin, with this topic was the fact that, so we're in the midst of a Eucharistic revival, and the church is highlighting, reminding us of the unique and a special form of Jesus's presence in the Eucharistic species. So the fullness of Jesus's presence, this side of heaven, is in the Eucharist. Body, blood, soul, and divinity. The fullness of his humanity, the fullness of his divinity, the fullness of who Jesus is, under the appearance, granted, under the appearance of bread and wine, but there's no bread and wine actually in there. It's all Jesus, all the time, once the host is consecrated, until it ceases to be bread. So I think a lot of like more well-formed or Catholics who have some formation kind of have an awareness of that. But the other modes of his presence are actually the things that I want to touch on, because I don't think that a lot of Catholics think about them as much.
Okay.
So for example, he is present, the Catechism says, in the poor, the sick, and the imprisoned. So there's a, you're nodding. What, is there a reason why you're nodding knowingly? Do you know where I'm going?
No, I don't.
There's a quote from Mother Teresa that is extremely apropos.
Okay.
Mother Teresa said, love Jesus under the appearance of bread and serve him in the distressing disguise of the poor. Love Jesus under the appearance of bread and serve him in the distressing disguise of the poor. So Mother Teresa, when she worked with the poorest of the poor in Calcutta, India, and when her sisters continue to minister to the poorest of the poor, for them, they're ministering to Jesus. Because, and it's not just, it helps me to minister to this person who's covered with disease and sickness, if I just think, oh, this is Jesus. No, no. Christ is present in the poor, the sick, and the imprisoned. So there is a way in which, yes, he is present in all of us to one another. There's a way in which that's true, but there are some greater ways in which he is present to us And among them are, as Mother Teresa recognized, how he is present in the poor, the sick, and the imprisoned. Hmm. So there are a lot of times throughout history where people, St. Francis, he kissed a leper and then he realized it was Jesus. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of ways where Jesus gives people a unique insight into the fact that I'm present. It might be it was actually Jesus, mm-hmm. or maybe just Jesus emphasized the fact that no, in the poorest of the poor, in a poor person, in a sick person, there's a way in which I am uniquely present.
Yeah.
Thoughts on that?
I never really thought about it like that. So that's actually really neat.
Yeah. So this is why corporal works of mercy. First of all, mm-hmm. it's good for us. Just I want to be clear here. This is not making the sick, the poor, or the imprisoned a means to an end. It's mm-hmm. not like Mother Teresa, like, oh, the only reason I'm helping you, poor person or sick mm-hmm. person, is because I want to see Jesus. No, she loved them mm-hmm. as people and recognized that precisely in and through them as people, Jesus was present to her in a particular way. So she was serving him in the distressing disguise of the poor. Which, again, not to say that it's not about the poor person, it's about Jesus. No, it's about Jesus precisely because he is present in the poor person and mm-hmm. they have value.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I think today, as we're recording this, today, I was driving down one of the bigger streets in Sioux Falls, not the interstate, a street with sidewalks and everything. And there was a man who I was waiting for the bus. And just the way he was dressed and the way he looked and the way he was fidgeting, I'm pretty sure, I don't know this, but I'm pretty sure there's probably some degree of mental illness or that he struggles with. Again, I'm not positive about that, but that was just the sense I got. And I was thinking of what we're going to be recording today, and I was mindful of the fact that this man who I just drove by, who I could have stopped and pulled over to help mm-hmm. him. He didn't need help. He was waiting mm-hmm. for the bus. But Jesus is present in that man in a particular way. And too often, I miss recognizing Jesus' presence. Especially, to be honest, for me, in the poor, the sick, and the imprisoned. Some people have a real gift and a love for serving the poor, the sick, and the imprisoned. I know I'm not unique this way. Some people, I'm one of them, have a bit more of a, like, I get uncomfortable
yeah.
around them. And so I tend to avoid them. And yet, so first of all, I shouldn't because they're created in the image and likeness of God mm-hmm. And called to love my neighbor. And secondly, again, Jesus is present to me through them. Jesus has something for me. So I know, frankly, I'm not going to go into detail, but I know it's connected to what we're talking about now. The reason that Jesus made me aware mm-hmm. of that man this morning was to highlight the reality of his presence mm-hmm. Through men and women like that to me, because that's an area of weakness for me.
Yeah. I'm just thinking as you're talking about that just becoming more aware of this, what you call it, teaching in the catechism, could really be useful that now that we're in Lent, you know, because I'm thinking of almsgiving.
Yep.
And how almsgiving quite often it is, you know, like it's giving, you know, your money, putting it in the rice bowl or whatever it is, you know, giving to a charity. But it's also some people see it as like working at the banquet or a soup kitchen or, you know, filling in, showing up to do some form of a ministry
sure.
for less fortunate. And this is really helping me to see, I mean, that's just really interesting to think of Jesus being more present
right.
to them.
Right.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
So anyways, it just really got me thinking of, but it's something to think on and ponder and pray on and how the Lord might be inviting us into
exactly.
take that step further, especially for almsgiving during Lent, yep. but also beyond.
Yeah, exactly. Beyond, right. Just, this is one of the things
Lent,
that we...
yep, we talk about all the time. Lent isn't just for Lent,
yep.
what we take on and practice. So, yeah.
So that's one way where awareness. And I think for me, that's probably the thing that I'm trying to grow in is an awareness of the ways, all the ways mm-hmm. the church lays out most, if not all of them, in 1373 in the Catechism. Mm-hmm. I know I'd shared with you something that came to me, I think a couple weeks ago, as I was pondering and praying with this idea of the ways that Jesus is present to me that too often I'm either completely oblivious to or inadequately aware of. So these are just my words, and they occurred to me in the form of a prayer, me talking to the Lord, but there's content here as well. May I receive you, Lord, may I receive you, O Lord, according to every mode by which you communicate yourself to me, to the fullest extent of my capacity. Mm-hmm. So what I was struck by, and I can't remember exactly what it was that prompted sort of these words to come to mind, in my heart, and actually for me to read them down in a way that I can actually read them again later. I
mean, awesome.
That's the really surprising
Holy
thing.
Holy Spirit.
The fact that it's legible, though.
Yeah. I knew that's what you meant.
May I receive you, O Lord, according to every mode by which you communicate yourself to me and to the fullest extent of my capacity. So I want to receive him. So it's more than just, it includes me being aware of his presence, but I want to receive him in every way, every mode that he's trying to communicate himself, not just his message, but himself to me. And I want to receive that in every mode, every way, to the fullest extent possible. So there's all these ways. Jesus is always, in every circumstance, in every person, he is present to me. Good and bad. Difficult, awkward, and joyful and easy. He's always present to me, not just in individuals and circumstances, but as the church says, in his word. So that's the Bible. All sorts of ways he's present to me. But again, I'm too often unaware of or inadequately aware of that presence. Mm-hmm.
It smells like you need to change your disposition to receive. So will you, like, do you have a practical way of doing that?
Yes, I am just willing it. I'm just working harder because that works so well for me, is just to work harder.
I can't tell if you're being serious. I don't think you are.
Not being serious. I think Elise knew that I was not being serious. Yeah. I'm not being serious because I have, there have been things, I'm going to change this about me. Mm-hmm. And been there, done that, got the t-shirt, didn't work.
Got the t-shirt even.
Maybe
wow.
The t-shirt.
You were.
So one of the things I've learned along the way is it helps by asking the Lord, especially if it's something that you know he wants for you. Mm-hmm. Like, he wants to communicate himself to me Absolutely. In every way that possible. He wants that. Mm-hmm. So I start now by, this is part of my ongoing desire. Lord, help. I just wrote it down for a reason, right?
Yeah.
Lord, help me to receive you in every way that you're trying to communicate yourself to me to the fullest extent possible. And then to me, it's just a matter of growing. So he's empowering me to do that. Mm-hmm. He's giving me the grace, the strength to do that. It's just a matter of me responding to those promptings. It's just a matter of me noticing the guy.
Yeah,
it's a matter of me being present to the moment. So it's trying to live in the now. It's trying to me to be present to, because the Lord orchestrated it 13 billion years ago.
Yeah.
So I think it's just a matter of awareness, and intentionality. Yeah. So I know he's communicating himself to me in all these ways. I'm asking him to give me the strength that I might recognize his presence to me. And yes, in my midst, within me, that I might respond to him and receive him even more. Does that answer your question?
Yes, absolutely.
So I do think this is, and this will relate what we're talking about, what we're going to be talking about next week. This is an unusual, looking ahead to next week, quick promo. Next week we're going to be talking about cultivating a contemplative spirit. Mm-hmm. Cultivating a contemplative spirit. I have to enunciate my words.
And so that would help.
So I think these are related. That's a good question. Chicken or egg? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'll have to think about that before we record next week's episode. Mm-hmm. But certainly for us, I think cultivating the contemplative spirit allows this to happen more easily. Because if I'm
living—
Because
you're more receptive and you're in a posture to receive.
As you literally, for those of who are listening, Robin has her palms up, arms out right
ready
now.
Ready to receive.
So that posture of reception, of receptivity. Mm-hmm. if we have a contemplative spirit, we're sort of living in that throughout our day. So having that, I think, does allow us, if we're practicing sort of that contemplative spirit, we're on the lookout more.
For sure.
So I think that's the other thing. How many times in the Gospels throughout the New Testament are we told to be awake, be alert? Mm-hmm. Jesus is always present. He's not hiding. It's a matter.
That's true. He's not hiding. We don't have our eyes open to see.
Yeah, we don't have the right perspective. I remember I thought about bringing that optical illusion that's in my office, the two women that you noticed yesterday. I know that probably would have annoyed you.
Lady's creepy.
it's one of those people optical illusions where it's depending, you can see two women, a young woman and an older woman.
Just like a black and white drawing, more like a head.
A head, yeah.
Yeah.
And I love that as a metaphor, because that's how, in order to see Jesus, it's a matter of just changing my perspective.
Yeah,
he's there. He's not hiding.
That's so true. You know, that picture that creeps me out is actually a really good thing to bring into this, though, because it is how you're looking. Because once you see the beautiful woman, her like profile review, you're just like, oh my goodness, that is so beautiful.
Right.
You know, and that's how it is when we recognize the Lord's presence.
Yep.
Everything just looks better and more clear.
Amen.
And we're happier.
And once you, like, and now some people can see the young woman, but they can't see the old woman. So once you see the other one, you can't unsee. It's a lot easier.
Yeah.
The first time you recognize the other one, then you're, and that's, I think that is how it is with our Lord. Once you recognize the ways that he's revealing himself to you, it's a lot easier to grow in that. Mm-hmm, it's hard to it's hard to unsee him. Mm-hmm. Once you've started to see him, all the ways that he's present to you.
For sure.
So
beautiful way to look at that.
Yeah. So I think
look at it.
No pun intended. Or pun intended. I think just an encouragement. So as folks are hearing this, and we will be well into Lent by the time they're hearing this. So these last few weeks, just maybe an encouragement for people to be on the lookout for Jesus and ask him for the eyes to see and ears to hear his presence.
Amen.
Thanks, Robin.
Thank you.
And folks, that will wrap up this episode of Ignition. Again, you can email us ignition@sfcatholic.org with any questions about today's episode or ideas for future ones. And until next time, may God bless you.